After the beginning, but still a long, long time ago, a thing happened that blocked all the blue sky from Mother Mountain. Some fury flung out of heaven cast a calamitous spell on all her realm. All her days are now cold and dark. Sun cannot penetrate the yellow vapor that shrouds her. The false night freezes the leaves off her trees and withers her meadows. The great living river that forms at her zenith and rushes down her sides is ridden mercilessly, dark day and black night, by masses of roiling, choking dust. The land below her has fallen silent. No voice rises to echo off her slopes. No animal roars. No bird sings. No child laughs or cries. Small garden plots and tuber fields choke to death. Every plant, wild and domestic, shrivels to nothing. Mother Mountain reigns over a land of shadows, bereft of all but cold, roiling vapor. The world at the feet of Mother Mountain is starving. Mother Mountain is covered with a network of footpaths made by the women who have used her as a temple of worship since before the beginning. Because of trees that fell and rock that shifted when the thing happened, many of the mountain footpaths are no longer usable. Partway up Mother Mountain, where two of the ancient footpaths still meet in a fork, is a thicket that is choked with dead leaves, dust, and thorns that put a stop to any intruder who does not know the secret of entering and exiting a thorn scrub thicket unharmed. Deep in the thicket, a dark-skinned boy who is nearly a man has burrowed into the dust and debris at the root of the thorn scrub and lies in hiding. The boy who hides has a name because he is the son of a powerful but strange-thinking queen. The name of the boy is the Adamu. The Adamu lifts his head up slightly from the debris that hides him to listen. Three pair of feet come up the path toward him. Two pair are swift and full-grown. One pair is that of a child. The Adamu lifts his head a tiny bit further to see who comes running. Two fierce black women, unknown to him, race up the steep path. Confronted by the fork beside the thicket, the women stop, uncertain which path to take. Each woman has a long, narrow hide sack filled with spear shafts over her shoulder and a spear thrower made of spring wood strapped onto her back. The Adamu has heard about but never before seen a spear thrower. The Adamu so wishes he could handle the spear thrower. Then, he is certain, he could make one for his sister Friday and another for himself. Both women carry in hand a shaft with a large obsidian spearhead already attached to one end. Smaller deerhide sacks, which the Adamu believes holds more spearheads, hang on the hide ropes tied about the women's waists. The Adamu wonders if the extra spearheads are also chipped from the precious obsidian mined in some far-off place that only the wisest of women know. The Adamu is very proud to be the son of a queen who has looked upon that place with her own eyes. The shorter of the two women leads a small, beautiful black boy child along by a leash of hide and a collar emblazoned with cowrie shell. While the women stop beside the thicket to consider the choice of paths up Mother Mountain, the small black boy child stands staring straight into the Adamu's eyes. The shorter woman's nostrils flare. Her nose turns toward the Adamu. She stoops, reaches into the thicket, carefully parts the brittle thorn scrub, lifts the Adamu's handsome face by the chin, and gazes at him in admiration. The taller woman snaps her fingers at the shorter one to quit her foolishness, points the spear she carries up the path leading off to the right, and barks a command. Neither boy understands what the taller woman is yelling about. Neither boy speaks her language. The women resume their run up the path with the small, beautiful black boy child. The Adamu would bolt from the thicket and run another way, but he dare not. More feet are coming up the path toward the fork. Many more feet, tired feet that are not running.